In both Chattanooga and in Columbia, South Carolina, both places that I administered to, there was a guy. I think there may be a guy like this in every community, an interesting character. Very few people knew his backstory. I certainly did not know. I just knew him to be standing on a intersection where two important highways came together, and he would be standing there, rain, shine, hot, cold, every single day except Sunday of the week. And he had a sign. Do you know what the sign said? The end is coming. That's right. He would tell it, you know, and he would shout it from time to time, you know, prepare, prepare, the end is coming, the end is coming, the world is coming to an end. He would change it up a little bit to make it more interesting. But by and large, we referred to both of these characters as the get ready men. Get ready. He's what he's telling us. Get ready. But you know, the Bible has a get ready man as well, and that is John the Baptist. We really don't hear a whole lot from him in the Bible, do we? I mean, he's here and there in a few little places, but you would not consider him a main character. Even the Baptists have a hard time going to that stretch where I had one of my high school friends who thought that he was quite a scholar and pointed out that, you know, that John the Baptist was the first Christian. I'm like, okay, whatever. I just never quite could go theologically along with him, But John the Baptist is an important character because truly he was the first get-ready man. That was his message. That was his purpose. That's what he was here for, was to prepare people to get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. I overheard a conversation between a couple of church members last year that went something like this. The first woman was all frazzled because she hadn't finished her shopping. The cards weren't sent out yet, and the trees had hardly been trimmed at all. It was just about a week before Christmas. And she was just complaining that Christmas was such a difficult time for her because it seemed like she was never ready. And the second woman looked over at her and said, in all the sweetness that she could come up with, sincerity, but dear, didn't you know that it was coming? Yeah, didn't you know? I mean, there were little warnings here and there. And I mentioned it last week, but as a pastor, and Babs, I know that you and I share this, and Tim, you too. We get our stuff done way ahead of time. There is no sane pastor who puts a sermon together the night before. Although I have known some insane ones who did it from the pulpit itself. That's not a good place either. So we think ahead, don't we? You know, I'm starting to work on Easter, aren't you? A little bit, kind of giving, not Tim, no. Yeah. Not yet, but it's coming. It's coming. Yeah. And yet, every year Advent strikes me as too early. I mean, who set this date? I mean, I would have sent it back in a time when I'm actually ready for it. But we're never really ready for it, are we? And so we need someone to give us that message. Get ready. It's coming. It's coming again. The birth of Jesus Christ. In fact, God was so wise in getting us ready, he said, okay, the birth of Jesus Christ is going to be a big deal. I'm going to give you 4 weeks to get ready for it. We're going to call that Advent, so get busy. And then yet it's Thanksgiving, and we're like, oh, is it Advent next week? Oh, boy. Oh, no. So we know it's coming. Advent gives us that opportunity to get ready for it. No more so than on the Sundays when we prepare to have communion together. We think about that ready. And so today, when we have Advent and communion, it is a day to celebrate, a get ready Sunday. The celebration of communion points us towards two things. First, to the living presence of Jesus Christ among us as we meet and we pray and we sing. And also, and today, most importantly, to the future, to the climactic victory of God over the forces of darkness. I think at one time it was a misunderstanding that when Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, that it is always a backward-looking event, and it is not. In fact, I don't believe that is the best use of communion. I think it is always better to look at the present and look at the future, and Jesus was calling us to do that as well. We look to the future, to the climactic victory of God over the forces of darkness. The writer of 2 Peter tells us this, the days of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Even the angels didn't know when God would bring down the curtain on human history. But communion looks at the past, but it looks at the present, and then it looks at the future. And the net message today is to get ready. Be prepared for the way of the Lord. Be prepared for the future. A message to take us to the heart. We should take to the heart because we do not know what the future will hold. I mean, this has been a whirlwind of a year. Who would have predicted the wonderful and strange things that we have witnessed? And yet every year is like this. We just don't know, and we just can't predict what will happen in the days ahead, and there are many who are prepared to take advantage of that. Back in 1831, a man named William Miller, if anyone knows your church history, the Millerites, he was a Baptist farmer from Lowhampton, New York, and he preached widely that the Lord's coming would be soon. And just to be more specific, he said it was going to be in 1843 or 1844. You go. Thousands of people followed him. They became known, as I've said, Millerites. And when the time came for the Lord to reveal himself, and the Lord didn't reveal himself, what did Miller do? Change the date. Yeah, just that works. I try to do that on my Sprint bill, but they don't pay any attention to that either. Hey, it really wasn't due this day. They have a different thing. But you got to love that. Don't lay it on the Baptist, though, because Presbyterians have done it too. Dr. Cumming, a minister of the Scottish Presbyterian Church in London, predicted many times that the end of the world was right around the corner. Each day came and slipped by. Nothing happened. And finally, he fixed on the date in 1867 for the great catastrophe. Everyone waited with anticipation. The flock, however, began to diminish a little bit when they discovered that Dr. Cumming had renewed his 27-year lease on his home. Yeah. People, it seems like forever, have been predicting that the sky is falling. And you have to love the stories that come from that. The story from Roanoke, Virginia, about a man named Warren Smith who was sued by his palm reader for giving him losing lottery. He sued his palm reader for giving him wrong lottery numbers. He was asking for $3 million, the amount that he would have won if he had had the right numbers, plus punitive damages. Or the policeman who commented on the burglary of a convention of fortune tellers. And his simple question was, you know, you figured they would have seen it coming. The future is and always has been uncertain. We simply do not know what will happen next. And then the get ready man tells us to get ready because life is fragile. We live in a fragile universe. You may have seen the bumper sticker. I love this one. Life is short, eat dessert first. Yeah. Our individual lives are as fragile as the world that we inhabit. Do you remember a few years ago the death of one of America's treasures, the wonderfully creative man Jim Henson? Do you remember him? The Muppet guy? Yeah. Do you remember how he died? Got up one morning, had a little bit of a cough, thought nothing of it, you know, maybe just a little minor infection, no big deal. And it was the weekend, and he didn't want to try to track down a doctor or anything, bother anybody. But by the time that the seriousness of it was discovered, it was too late. And as a very young man, everything he dreamed of was at his feet, and he was gone, and he died from just a simple infection. Life is fragile. In fact, everything we own is temporary. A man in Illinois wanting to express his love to his wife on their anniversary tied a beautiful ring and a card to a helium balloon, you know, the kind you can buy at Publix, and when he opened up the door to get it... Bye. No one ever found it either. Yeah. It headed for the clouds. Most of us don't lose rings to helium balloons, but our possessions can be just as fleeting as that ring. Now, as a pastor, I know that I have dealt with people who are downsizing their houses. It's pretty common. I haven't really had a problem with people that are upsizing their houses. They always seem to be able to find more stuff to put in. But it's the people that are going to a nursing home or a care facility or live in the mother-in-law's suite, and they look at all their stuff, and they're like, what did I do? What was I thinking when I had that angel collection for the last 45 years? And what am I going to do with all those angels? I mean, any of those things, do you all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know. Every head in here is shaking like, yeah, do you want some, George? You hear, take this, you know? But thank you. But my office, I look at it, and I know one day I'm going to have to do something with all those books. Do you know what modern ministers want? Because I don't. They don't want my books. That's what I do know. They don't want any books anymore. It's all online. And so I have all these great books, and I love my books. Now I'm sad. Oh, well. Anyway, most of us won't lose helium balloons, but we're just, our possessions are just as fleeting as that kind of thing. That's the way that life is. And the get ready man says to get ready because we will never know what the future holds, and life is fragile, and because we have things in our lives that need to be set right. At dinner, a little boy told his parents that there was going to be a little PTO meeting at the school the next day. Well, if it's a small one, do you think that we ought to go? And his mother said, his mother asked, and well, the little boy said, I think so, in a low voice. I mean, it's just you, me, and the principal. Yeah. We all have to make things right at some point. A Sunday school teacher asked a little girl, what is a sin of omission? And the little girl thought for a moment. She said, those are the sins we ought to have committed, but haven't thought of them yet. Yeah. I mean, there is a little dark side to all of us that we try to hide it from God. And our intent each morning as we look into the mirror is to be loving and disciplined people fashioned in the image of Jesus Christ. But we are not Jesus Christ. And the words of Paul, John the Baptist, keep calling us to repentance. We don't know what the future will bring. Life is fragile. All of us have preparations to make. But there is this one final word today. The message of a get-ready man is simply this. It is hope. You may think that it's condemnation. You might think that it's judgment, but it is not. It is hope. We can labor on about how uncertain life is, and we need to face the uncertainty as followers. But because we are followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot be pessimists, because God is always in control. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Now, because God is in control does not mean you get what you want. Understand that. You know, if I was in control, my grandmother would still be here. Now, my grandmother's been dead for 40 years, but I would still like from Bamaw is what we called her, to be here. Wouldn't all be the same way? I mentioned it one time, and I said we would be up to our elbows in grandma's if it was up to us, right? God bless them, but God took them. And at the time, we all were sad, and we wondered, how could God do something like this? God, didn't you hear my prayers? Yes, God heard our prayers, and Grandma has been up with Grandpa, and I'm sure that they've been arguing ever since for 40-some-odd years, and a wonderful, wonderful thing that took place. And so it is essentially, get ready. It is a message of hope. Benjamin Garrison tells about a computerized chess set that he got for Christmas one year. I mean, he loved to play chess, and the idea, and all of his friends thought, well, this would be a great idea because it'll occupy him for a while. So he sat down at the chess set. It's one of those modern ones where you make a move, and then a few seconds later, the computer makes another move, and you actually can see the parts. It's pretty cool, really. I thought about getting one for Deborah for Christmas because she loves playing chess. But he was playing, but when he got close to the end of the game, he said, all right, you idiot, if you're going to cheat, I'm not going to play. He's talking to the computer. I mean, it's all right, I talk to my cell phone all the time. But you get that. He said, if you're going to cheat, I'm not going to play with you anymore. But you see, the computer had not cheated. It had simply made a decisive game-changing move several minutes earlier, and Garrison had just not seen it. And he went on to making his moves, some good, some not so good, until the game edged towards the computer's inevitable victory. And Garrison thought the computer had cheated. But he goes on to write these. He says, this is quite like what God has done in the serious game of life and salvation. Nearly 20 centuries ago, God made a decisive move in sending Christ into the world. That move secured the future. That move guaranteed the outcome. We are free to make our moves on the chessboard of our lives, some good, some others not. Yet all the while, God is edging us towards the inevitable triumph. That is the ultimate message of Advent and Christmas. God has not forgotten his people. In this uncertain and fragile world, there is one thing we know, and that is that God is still in charge and nearer to us than we ever imagined. Those are great words, aren't they? Yeah. Cavalry officer named Jeb Stuart. He was a Confederate cavalry officer, which is immaterial to this point. And actually, his junior high school was the junior high school rival of mine in Jacksonville, but Jeb Stuart. He graduated 1854 from West Point and received his first assignment in Texas. And he got aboard a ship in New Orleans. And he had to travel a pretty good distance to get to his place. And the entire time there was a storm. And he got violently seasick. He couldn't move. He stayed in his bunk the entire time, which is the worst thing that you can do. But the boat pitched and rolled. And finally, when he lifted his head and discovered that he could breathe again, he realized that he had been in Galveston Bay for 2 days. He didn't know that the ship was done. While he thought he was about to die from seasickness, all he had to do was simply stand up and walk out the door and see the dry, stable land right there. Anytime he could have done that. But see, that's how close God's help is, whether we take advantage of it or not. You listen to this get ready man as we gather for communion. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent and believe the gospel, because the future is uncertain. Life is fragile. We all have preparations to make, but do not be afraid. The God of the Bethlehem star, the God of the angels singing peace on earth, goodwill, the humble shepherds, the Christ child born in the manger, all of that still in control of this universe. So, get ready. Get ready. This table before which I stand is not First Presbyterian's table. It is not assigned or owned by anyone. It is dedicated to Jesus Christ. And so all are welcome to receive the elements of communion at this time, regardless of what your background may be. You may be a lifelong, whatever denomination you want to grab. This table is for you. You may have accepted Jesus Christ in your life 10 minutes ago. This table is for you. And understand that. Even if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, and you seek after the Lord has been seeking after you and brought you to this place. So all are welcome to receive these elements and to be and experience the presence of Jesus Christ, the real presence. So all are welcome. I'm going to ask you to come down the central aisle. I'll receive the elements up here at the front and then return to your seats by the side aisles. And so let us turn to our response. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, in this season when we celebrate the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise. You created all things and called them good. You made us in your own image. Even though we rebelled against your love, you did not desert us. You delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God. You spoke to us through prophets who looked for that day when justice would roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Therefore, with the prophets and all who have looked for a better age to come, with your people in all ages and the whole company of heaven, we join the song of unending praise, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy is your name, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imaginations of their hearts and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send away empty. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. On the night in which he offered himself up for us, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. As often as you eat of this, do this in memory of me." After they had eaten, he took a cup, and into it he poured wine, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for the sins of the whole world. As often as you drink of this, do this in memory of me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'll ask you at this time to come forward. Christ. Send the power of your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ. Be one body in him, cleansed by his blood, faithfully serving him in the world and looking forward to that day foretold by prophets and apostles, when the one who came in humility and who comes today in word and spirit shall come in final victory. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.